It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being fired for having a stroke.
What?
You could join our chat room, the Den Pen. Go to davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast. Also, Facebook Live, Davin's Den. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hello, sir. How are you? Hello, Tim Felix.
Hello. I'm well. And the aforementioned Pip Hewitt. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
There she is. Look at her. A little narrow screen tonight. On the show, scamming scammers in School of Fools is telling people who attend the rally to burn in hell, worthy of expulsion. Maybe. I don't know. And a government worker may lose his job after a video of him enjoying himself is sent to his coworkers. Ugh, it's nothing sacred. You can't just kick back and love yourself anymore. That's the problem with today's society. What?
Not to that degree.
What'd you say?
Not to that degree.
You know what? I don't believe in measuring such things, except in volume. In volume. That's how I like to measure it, you know. But anyway, I'll digress. We'll get there. So, I was at my parents' house the other day. I was trying to clean out some stuff from my old childhood room, and you know, like all the stuff that I had stored there, apparently now it has to make its way over here. So,
but in a big hurry?
No, not as much as a hurry as I would like. I'm in a bigger hurry than they are. Trust me. but you know, because listen, if they die, I'm the one who's got to clean it out. So I'd rather do it sooner rather than later. But
yeah,
I'm that way.
Yeah, I pretty much did.
Oh God. If you guys happen to kick the bucket, I don't want to have to do it all at once.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's right, because it's going to be on me then. So.
Well, you're doing Swedish death cleaning.
What?
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's called Swedish death cleaning, and it means clean your house as if you're going to die, and you don't want to leave stuff for other people to do.
All right, so the first thing you do is you start with your computer cookies. I understand now. Okay.
Right. And if you're on school, your porn magazines.
Yes, exactly. Now we understand. Why didn't you just say that?
I don't know how hard people are going to grieve when they find a copy of Teach Me, Mister, so I don't know what to tell you.
Wow, that's very specific. Wow. Well, Joe, keep that in mind for the segment later on. So,
funny.
So I got to get rid of stuff. Not much progress was made, you know. And then it's like you grab the stuff. It's like, ugh, what am I ever going to do with it except for put it in a box here? It's like, well, you could sell it. But then I'm like, ugh, putting it on eBay, that sounds rather strenuous. So it just winds up taking up space. So
yeah.
My only saving grace could be, like, for instance, on my bookshelf right now is like a Smurf type porcelain statue and an E.T. porcelain statue. So the hope is, when Pip ever makes her way over here, maybe she really likes something like that. So maybe I can move
nice
that.
To bring home then.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare give me things to hoard.
Why?
Because I'm too good at that myself.
I'm just saying, there's things you might need. You know what I did get from my parents' garage? I don't know what to do with it. It's worth about, $40. You know what? I'm just going to show you. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, my God. He's doing QVC on our show.
Well, you know, I was talking to Joe's girl before, and I was telling her about, you know, she's cleaning out the house, and I was telling her about, like, when I cleaned out my house after my mom died, I filled up a dumpster, and I go, it's amazing what you accumulate, because roughly about 25 years later, I filled a dumpster with what I had, you know, at my house.
Do you see what I'm holding up?
Amazing. Yeah, the Posey O'Doll.
It's the Rosie O'Doll.
Why does it look like a load of shit in her head? Is she a shithead?
I don't know. It's
Susie Shithead doll.
It's
I'm Susie Shithead. I don't know what I'm doing. People pull my stick. I'm such a shithead. Yes, sir. Susie Shithead.
This is not that.
It's the Susie Shithead doll.
I don't know what you expect.
Show it to the camera so they show the fans. It's Susie Shithead.
It's not. Pip, do you know?
On my brain.
Pip, do you know who this is?
Pukey Patty.
Nope. All right. Well, fine. You guys are very hard on plush toys.
Now, what's the deal with Posey Poopy?
This is Rosie O'Donnell.
You're kidding.
No, I don't know why my mom bought this, but she did. So let's squeeze the tummy. The thing's got to be like 40 years old. Ah, well, the battery's dead.
So it's supposed to be her as a child, I guess?
No, it's her as a talk show host, you nitwit.
I'm sorry. You bring something out that looks like Susie Shithead. You got to tell us it's Rosie O'Donnell. It doesn't look nothing like her. I'm sorry, we're the assholes here.
I'm sorry, you're the assholes, too. I pressed her stomach, and the battery is still somewhat alive, but it sounds like somebody's trying to smother her with a pillow as she tries to talk.
If only.
Oh, God.
Who's going to buy that? Who's going to buy that?
If you go on eBay, the thing's worth like $40. But what do I do with this?
You know there's services that will take your stuff and sell it on eBay for you.
How much do you have to give them?
I don't know what percent of it, but I've heard that that's done. And, they'll sit there and do all that drudgery to get it done. And at least you get some money instead of throwing it into the, garbage dump.
That's not a bad idea. I've pressed the tummy, and you don't have – it's a shame neither of you are here. It is making horrible noises. I have angered the Rosie O'Shithead doll, as Joe might call.
Oh, my God. You know, if it's rumbling like I am picturing, it probably sounds vaguely demonic.
It sounds like – you know what? It's very real-like. It sounds like Rosie O'Donnell when her tummy's hungry. That's what it sounds like.
Well, there's just not a lot of call for the hangry Rosie O'Donnell doll, I'm sure.
I think there is. I just don't know what to do with it. Well, I mean, I don't want to throw it away, but like this.
Well, you could get a Trump doll and have them be Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know what? I could
probably garbage men have it. The garbage men like strapping that shit to the grill of the truck.
Well, let's be honest. By the time the state of New York is done with him, Trump's going to need to earn some extra money. So maybe I'll just hire the real Donald Trump to argue with the Rosie O'Shithead doll.
Why not?
He's got nothing better to do once the campaign's over. if he gets in the White House, I guess he could argue with the Rosie O'Donnell doll during executive time. But other than that.
Executive time.
Yes, he's having executive time. Now, why is he taking a 3-hour shit? He's the president. Don't you ask such things.
Yeah, right.
A 3-hour shit.
Is the president in the bathroom again? Yes, he's reviewing classified documents.
Like everybody who uses that bathroom does.
Yes. And by reviewing classified documents, he's wiping his ass on how to invade Iran as we speak. When he said, I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth, he meant I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth.
And with Charmin, Charmin's the best, best toilet paper ever.
Donald Trump's the only former president who has paper cuts on his butthole.
Would we say that his butt is the entire earth or just actually two globes?
I would say his ass is a flat earther. All right. That was not the point, but that is part of the problem. I have this doll, and I don't know what to do with it. So it's sitting in a trash bag. So I don't know.
Well, at least it's in good hands.
No, it's like I said, it's brand new. It's in the original thing. Like if somebody was a Rosie O'Donnell fan, I mean, and she has fans, but if I knew someone who was a Rosie O'Donnell fan besides my mother back in the day who bought this thing, I would give it to them. But I don't know anybody.
Well, why don't you go on to a Facebook Rosie O'Donnell fan page?
I didn't even think such a thing might exist, although it probably does.
Well, you know, you have that nice cul-de-sac. If you went to, in the spring, if you went to your neighbors and said, hey, do you guys want to have like a cul-de-sac sale? And then you could put up, you know, you get one or two neighbors to go, you put out tables. You have a garage sale right there in the street?
No.
And put up signs all over.
I'm not doing garage sales anymore. We give our stuff away for free. We've done...
All right.
Yeah, there's like free groups that we give it to. So, might go on. Anyway, so that's not the point. As I just remembered I had this stuff. So, I find some stuff from my old law school, Brooklyn Law School.
Wow.
Shows you how long it's been since I've been there. I also found my elementary school yearbook, too, from when I was in the second grade. So my dad's got, yeah, it's a shame. You know, I still think it's a shame you didn't finish law school.
Who said that?
My dad.
Okay.
I'm like, what?
As long as it wasn't your wife.
Funny. But I'm like, so what? I would have had another $35,000 in debt? He's like, well, you know, he's still on the thing where, you know, you could have fallen back on it. At this point, I got to fall back like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. I got to fall back like the Wile E. Coyote lit an Acme rocket and it backfired and I stumbled 50 yards off a cliff. That's how far I would have to fall back into a law career.
Well, you gotta, I can understand how your parents feel, you know? It's like, what's your son going to be? He's going to be a lawyer. Now, you know, and then he has to go to, he's telling dick jokes at Hardy Har Har's. Over in the Midwest, you know?
Well, then my dad said, yeah, you're kind of getting to what he said next. He's like, yeah, you know, I think you think it would, you know, comedy would have been more. I'm like, what do you mean more? Because I've done some cool things.
Yeah.
But I think he had his little CPA hat on because he did my taxes all these years. So I think I think it was like a shot at my income. I'm like, wow, such a... still thinking about it a week later, I'm like, what a fucking dick move.
It was kind of a harsh comment.
It really is. So I said to him, this is what I said to him. I said, I assure you, I've helped more people doing what I'm doing now than I ever would have done with law. I mean, if you think, because there's no way I would have done all this scamming stuff if I was a lawyer.
How would you have even have been introduced to it?
I probably would have been scammed. I don't know.
And then
fool them. I'm not wrong to think that was a dick thing. I mean, I didn't say that was a dick thing. I just like what do you say? Do you say that was a dick thing? Do you say that bothered me, or do you just air it out on your radio show like a man?
Air it out on your radio show. That's what the parents say. You know what I mean? You know. I mean, you were in law school. You left to do comedy. He probably thought you might have had a more financially lucrative, you know, career in law.
But, you know, it's possible, Joe. But I wanted to be a public defender, at least initially. They don't make a lot of money. And when I was still working, a lot of lawyers had been fired. Lawyers get let go, too.
So of course they do.
Now, the thing is, I've been told I would have been a great lawyer. The other day, the cat told me I would have been a great psychologist, and that, you know,
I'm sure why, and I'm seeing the dividends of that, my friend. That's a story for another day.
Me? No. Do not drag me into this. I am very open with you both, and I will leave it at this. I don't recommend anybody adopt either one of you as cats.
Mr. Johnny Two Cents hasn't been making my life easier.
You make your own life hard. Don't blame me. Don't blame me. You're the one who juggles assets, both attainable and unattainable. Don't blame me, my friend.
Stay out in the alley where you deserve.
Exactly. I'll tell you what. The cats that we are dealing with, Ms. Helix, are both rabid, and you wouldn't even take them into the house. You would put both these cats to sleep. Yeah. These are not cuddling cats. These are cats that you admire from afar.
The cat's changed a little bit. And I go, oh, that's right. The cat's been on your porch. All right, and it comes back to mine. All right.
No, listen. Yep. You're not angry at the cat for what it did on my porch, all right? Leave my porch out of your mouth. You're angry what the cat did on its own porch.
I understand that. I get that.
You know, Pip doesn't know this. Pip doesn't know this, but on Sunday morning, I awake to angry texts from Joe Curry.
Really?
I wrote a nasty. I'm like, uh-oh, wrong person. And then I go, and he goes, you mean me? I go, no. And I go, think about it. I call you a lot of shit, but the stuff I just said doesn't pertain to you. It was to somebody else.
Can we tell her what was in the text?
No, we gotta leave it. We gotta leave it.
It was not nice, Pip. It was not nice.
Oh, nice. Really?
It was not nice. And look, Pip. When him and I had that blowout 10 years ago, mm-hmm. That wouldn't even fit in there. I mean, it's a little, so I go, oh shit! I said that to stupid. So I, and then I go, and I was trying to write back. Was this meant for me? No, I go. No. You know, I have choice words for you, but these aren't the ones I would use.
I believe him because everything was spelled properly.
Were the words mean enough to make a kitty turn feral?
They were mean. They were meant to be hurtful. But who's to say the text was wrong? I just don't know. And this is not the first time in the communique has been aimed at this particular cat that was very hurtful that wound up on my porch. So
yes. There's a lot of ferals curled up and licking their wounds on your porch.
And Pip knows damn well. Now, if you will notice, Joe, over the past month, Pip has been much better behaved because I have told her that if she pisses me off, I will be giving the cat her number.
Oh, boy, yeah. I can't believe.
I do still have some self-preservation left in me.
So, you know. But anyway, and other people have told me I would have been a good... So I would have been a good psychologist, would have been a good lawyer. I really do think comedy was my calling. I do think I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
You know, You could mention that, you know, the conversation that you had or the comments that he made you feel that he was disappointed in you. And that might open up that conversation. But if you open up a conversation like that, you better be ready to hear things that you don't like.
I don't want to hear anything. How about that?
Yep. All right. Well, then just air it out on your show like a man.
Like a man.
You want to know something? You own a nice house. You're getting by. You got money. You had enough to invest in a house. So you just tell them, look, I go, this is what I wanted to do. It's not like I'm sleeping on your couch wondering what I'm going to do next. I mean, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I hope I never say that type of stuff to my daughter.
Right.
No, I have called her. I said, this is the difference between me and my wife. I told her she's a serial killer. I'm not hiding her from the authorities. I think the wife will. So.
That's the difference.
But you want to know something? When you look back at your career, like I was talking with my buddies at the club, and you know, I mean, we're still out there all the time. But you know, the opportunities that we had, we're looking in the rearview mirror, and I think there's still stuff. But the thing about it is, there's no other thing I'd rather do. There's no other place I'd rather be in a club. And I got to tell you, since I was 16 years old till now, it's 61, the band and comedy, you know, moving on to comedy, has always dictated my life. And I've been doing both for years and years and years, and I don't think I'd change a thing. You know, I talk about Ant with it, you know, all the time, and it's like, you know what, we do what we like, we're doing what we like. I mean, you're more successful at it than I am, but it doesn't take the fact away that I'm out there, I'm doing it, I'm having fun, you know, and I wouldn't change a thing. I think I might have worked the city more earlier, but, you know, and there's the things that I just have to make time to do with promotion and videos and stuff like that. But as playing in bands, doing comedy, you know, and I'm still doing it at 61, I wouldn't change a thing. I'm still not going to change a thing. I'll do it till they slam the lid down on my ass.
Yeah, but if your mom had said to you, you know, you should have done more with your, say, business degree. I don't know if that's what you studied, but I know you went to some type of after high school thing. I mean, that you'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you know, and it's something you want to get affirmation, because basically when we were working up in, I believe it was, we were working up the club in Albany.
Binghamton.
Binghamton, when my family came down. You know, and my brother goes, yeah, you're pretty funny. You know, if you want to do this, go for it. You know, I go for it. My brother is my idol, and he's the head of the family. And, it, you know, it means a lot. You know, so when the head of the family says go for it, you kind of feel good, you know, because you got that, he winked his eye at that, you know. So it does mean a lot with somebody that, you know, you do look at and admire, you know, and is the head of the family, goes, yeah, I would go for it, you know. So, yeah, I know, there's a lot to it.
All right. So there was that, and then maybe this last fucked up thing will be if we get any miles out of this, because it's kind of an interesting thing. Never really shared this with anybody before, but I'll bring it out here. And I want to put it in my comedy act, but I haven't figured out how to do it. So when I was in elementary school, my mom thought I had a problem with snaps, buttons, and zippers. You know,
okay.
You know, these are fine motor skills, I guess. All right. So
you didn't have a Dapper Dan?
I did have a Dapper Dan. And a Dapper Snoopy.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, is that the thing that teaches you how to dress yourself?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. So I might have been slow with that stuff. I don't recall. Now, I was in gym class, and I was doing fine in there. Now, I still can't do a somersault, so you put that aside. I would still go off to the left or the right when I tried to tumble. I mean, gymnastics 2 weeks was the worst weeks ever. What?
Right. I can't do that shit either, dude.
Yeah, well. So, I think today, you would probably send a kid to an occupational therapist, right? If there was an issue? Right. I don't know if that was a thing when we were kids, or when I was a kid.
An occupational therapist?
Yes.
What is that? They go, so why do you want to be a plumber? Yeah, I don't know.
No, they call it that, but it's really just learning physical skills.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. But that wasn't a thing when, or at least
no, it wasn't.
No.
So, but what did happen instead was a few times a week, I would get pulled out of class to attend class with the retarded kids. Why did you say retarded? Because that's what we called them then. I mean, now you would call them something else. But back in the day, retarded was the nice way of saying it.
So what did they do? A little yellow bus pulls up and they threw you in there and took off?
No. These kids were in our school, but you never saw them. Like, you really...
They weren't mainstreamed. They would have a separate...
Oh, no, you hit them back then.
Like, maybe when a fire alarm was pulled or something, and everybody had a line up outside. But other than that, you really didn't see these kids. And these kids were all... Some of them were quite a bit older.
Right.
So I would get I'm in, and then they would, like, sometimes we would go outside and, like, bounce basketballs and stuff. I didn't have a problem with regular gym class. You know, I could play the sports in gym.
But like the other people that you were with, you didn't try to eat the basketball.
Not that I recall.
That's wrong.
Don't scold me, Pip. You're laughing. Don't scold me.
I know. No one munching on Wilson.
but I'm like, just, this is so weird that they would pull me out and put me with these other kids. And then I can only imagine that if any of my classmates looked out the window, there I am. I'm not in class. I'm bouncing a ball with the retarded kids. How did I survive?
It was setting you up to start to do open mic. You go to other mic last night. It's the same fucking thing.
You would have been so abused.
But I wasn't. I wasn't. I don't. I guess nobody saw us. But it's just like, how is this a good idea?
Well, you know, they didn't have, if somebody was having developmental issues in any way, you know, they tried to find a way because they didn't have, they call them IEP plans now, but they didn't have that for kids back in our day. Well, and my day was even before you. So yeah. They would do what they had the resources to do. And it's not out of pocket that they would have decided, you know what, he'll have more practice with motor skills if he's working on that with the kids who are practicing their motor skills. And he's already up to speed intellectually. It's just we need to get him the coordination down.
But we weren't even working on, like, snaps and buttons and zippers. We were bouncing balls.
Were you able to tie your shoes? And I'm not being an asshole here. I just am curious. Because I wasn't. I had a problem with tying my shoes. It got to the point where my mom had to, like, bribe me and learn how to would buy me a bicycle if I learned how to tie my shoes. I finally did it. I was 27. But, you know, but I was bad with it. I couldn't figure it out.
I
had tiny loafers. I didn't know how to tie my shoes. And I didn't know it was a skill I was missing until they had a little quiz in the class. And they asked you certain things. We had just moved to our neighborhood, and they said in kindergarten, and they're like, you get a star in the sky on this bulletin board if you can do this skill. And you get an apple in the tree and a flower in the grass. And you had to be able to tie your shoes, say your phone number, and one other thing. I don't remember what that was. I couldn't do any of them.
No, I couldn't. And you know, my mom, under the bridge. Go under the, over the bridge. What is this, a traffic report? I don't know what I'm doing here. You in the bridge.
You know, hearing you guys say this makes me think there should have been a lot more kids in the retarded class.
We could have done an early version of this show in there, apparently.
I mean, like, so I'm hearing this. I'm like, maybe this was an overreaction by my mom.
No, I think she was trying to do whatever she could to nip this in the bud and get you up to skill speed with the rest of the class. And there wasn't as much available during those days. There really wasn't.
Yeah. I also used to get pulled out. I don't know why this was. Maybe because my parents argued all the time and, you know, I'm a little kid. I used to get pulled out for, like, play therapy. Play therapy. Like, again, I'm getting pulled out of class in elementary school, and I'm going to this teacher. I don't know what she had, like, this little room. You know, I'm playing Matchbox cars. I'm playing the card game War. I don't know what we're trying to accomplish. I'm constantly getting pulled out of classes.
But you know what?
How'd you learn anything?
Any excuse to get pulled out of classes after my, you know, my dad committed suicide. I was, you know, like, in, I think, the first grade. Or whatever, and they used to have therapy for me. Mrs. Wells, nice lady, Mrs. Wells would come by every Tuesday, and we would go in, and I'm like, hi, well, let's just chat. I'm like, oh, just talk to the ladies. Way to get out of social studies, you know, I didn't mind, you know. And I guess they were just checking up on me how I was dealing with stuff. But, you know, to me, I'm in first grade, you know, I'm 6-7 years old. It's like, hey, you know, and my mom wasn't, I don't want you talking to her. I'm calling this guy. I want to get out of social studies for 20 minutes, you know?
You had the only you were the only mom that treated the therapist like a mobster. You say nothing to her, capiche? We're going to whack the therapist.
Well, let me tell you something. I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and I'm like, I don't even stick around. I go, I'm about as cuddly as a porcupine. And the person responded, well, once you get past the anger and the cursing, you're not a bad guy. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's what this person has said to me too. This person was actually disturbed at one point when she did not. She started to think Joe wasn't a terrible human being. I remember.
Wait, and that was disturbing that she thought he wasn't a terrible human.
You have to understand you the way these two nitwits. You weren't there. You weren't there for ground zero. So.
Oh,
no.
Please don't do that to me.
And ground zero, we knew each other for about 35 to 40 minutes.
And you've never seen Joe pout so much for getting asked to leave the stage. He was pouting. This is your problem now. And harumph.
because when we Davin walks past me to go on stage, he goes, you better handle your girl. You know,
and I did. That's what,
wow.
You know how I solve problems? I pass them on to other nitwits. That's how I solve problems. I'm a nitwit adoption agency. That's what I am, Pip.
I made a comment. I think we're at a mic, something like that. And the person goes, yeah. And I was going up and doing 30 minutes, and I go, at least you had that chance. And I just looked at her.
Well, wow. That's a
no. It's still with everything else. It's still a big bone of contention.
Yeah, you might want to let that go, stupid. There's been more stuff since then. You might. I think this person has proven their worthiness to you. So you might want to let that little indiscretion of daring to stop the genius that is the comedic Joe Curry. You might want to let that go.
Believe me, I would go this, that, and the other thing, and blah, 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 blah. Well, yeah, well, this, that, and the other thing, and blah, blah, blah. Michael, all right, you got a point. All right, man.
Anyway.
It's going to come out eventually. But, yeah, it's just a little interesting.
And in the first grade, I used to get pulled out of class to read with the secretary. Because that's when I transferred to a yeshiva, a Jewish private school, and I was in public school for kindergarten, and we didn't learn how to read, but in that yeshiva, the kindergarten kids did know how to read already, so I was behind. I'm thinking about my elementary school years. Was I ever even in class, or was I just constantly getting pulled from here and there and everywhere?
Did you eat lunch with the lunch lady?
No.
Okay.
I did not. I always eat, because you know why? I had cool toys. I had really cool, and you know, when you're in elementary school, a lot of it's about, you know, what toys you brought, you know, to put in your lunchbox or whatever it is. And there used to be a toy. It was like a motorcycle. It was like a little bit bigger than a matchbox car, and it had like a ripcord, and you would pull the ripcord, and then the thing would fly and jump and do all sorts of things. Now, invariably, the man was made from plastic, so he would lose limbs over time, but this is one of the coolest toys you could have. And I remember that. Yeah, and then there was another toy that you would wear it like a watch. But they had these cars, and mine was the Dukes of Hazzard, where you would wind them up, and then they would go down the watch, and the General Lee, which we can't talk about anymore, the General Lee would do a wheelie, and the police cars would, like, spin around. So I had really cool toys. So I had people to sit with.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, you know
I
what?
Think you might have issues from them, because every comic has it. You know, it's funny, because you talk about comic with issues, and this comic that I would think, nah, they don't really have any issues. And I'm like, and I see a couple of things, I'm like, yeah, maybe they do. But I always say, I go, David is one of the only guy I really know that doesn't have issues. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe your early schooling may have screwed you up a little bit.
Yeah, you know me, Joe. I just can't go anywhere without pulling the zip cord on a motorcycle. No, but I... But
stop doing that in the neighborhood, though. I don't like it.
I don't know. I don't think I have. Listen, everybody's got issues. Everybody's got something. But I certainly don't have overt issues. But I don't know. Like, I think being pulled out to play with the retards again. This is what we called them in the day. I think that should be for my comedy act, but I don't know how to do it yet, which is kind of annoying me because like this is the type of unique personal stuff. They go, wow. But I can't make it funny because you don't want to make – How do you do this without making the mentally disabled, mentally challenged? I don't want to make them look bad. But these are essentially my peers, so you can't go, well, at least I wasn't drooling. I mean, I don't want to do that.
Right.
Pip, what are you doing? Is the Blair Witch on your heels? What the hell is going on with your camera?
I'm trying to hold it, figure out a way that feels comfortable holding it, because I'm going to be holding it all night.
Joe, be careful. There's an earthquake. You look what's happening.
How would I laugh? It moves.
Yeah, how do you write that bit?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's funny because I've been doing a bit about, you know, heavyset people. I'm not punching down. I'm just curious about stuff. And it's like I'm getting pushback, and I'm like, and I dawned on me. I go, I had to change wording in a bit a couple of years ago for that. I'm like, why am I punching ahead with this? And I'm like, yeah, I'm like back to the old drawing, but because I'm not wording it right, or because I try to have a preamble on why I'm saying what I'm saying, and on that bit, it's like, you know, people just, you know, stare. He's saying mean things. So with that in mind, how do you go to write your bit? I don't. You know, people say, well, you could talk about anything. Yeah, but you got to word it, and you either have to have a preamble going in and then showing the point, or you have to word it damn carefully. I don't know how the hell you gonna pull that off.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean,
here's the only way I could do it. It would have to be later in the show, and you guys know the way I deal with audience. I would have to tell that story, you know, and then go, and this is why I'm comfortable with all of you.
That's good. So what you do is I call that a vault joke. You're not going to use it next week. You're not going to use it tomorrow. You're not going to use it in 6 months. There will be that night. There will be that night where you go, all right, open the vault, and you just play it. So yeah, that's a vault joke.
Yeah, but the thing is, you got to set it up.
You can't just pull that out of the
moment. Trust me, you'll be in the moment, and I know an audience you would, you know, do this with where you could care less, okay? And you will set it up just so, and you will deliver it. And like I said, it's going to be that audience that are just, you know, that will able to comprehend the joke, know that, yeah, you are like that. You know, you'll know it. As a comic, you'll feel it. Going, all right, I'm in the pocket here. And these guys are just being this.
I guess, that is one way to introduce it. I just feel like it could be like one of these really good bits, unique things, unique stories. It happened to me, but I don't know how to do it. And it's very disappointing. But I was thinking about it's like, when do they decide, go, all right, enough with the retards? When do they decide we no longer have to pull you out to be with the special needs kids? You're on your own. And how do they feel that this is not going to cause more damage? Like, how do I process this? I'm sitting in class. Uh-oh. The special needs teacher's at the door, walks in, whispers to your teacher. There you go. You walk out in front of the class. I mean, what is going on here? What are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about this, you know what? I'd be better off if I couldn't zip up my fly. There would be less humiliation if I just walked around all day with my fly open. Less chance of being bullied.
You know, my friend said to me the other day, just on Sunday, she was talking about a work issue, but and how it was making her feel bad. And she said, when did I become the smelly kid? And that's spot on. It's like, when, you know, you're in a moment where you're like, wait, when did this turn around? Why am I the smelly kid? You know, and it's kind of like you're lucky that at that time, you know, kids were more innocent and they were still young. Because if this was like happening to you like third grade when they start.
No. This was like third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade. This is that time period. This is much older. This is elementary school. But yeah.
Wow. You're so lucky you didn't get bullied for this stuff. I mean,
I got bullied for other things. But
okay. At least they caught up.
But yeah, let's give these kids some credit because this has Target written all over it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it really does.
I tell you, I actually got on this guy that used to bully me in junior high and high school. There was a gathering in Elwood, what was it, about 3 years ago, and the band was playing. I was playing with Ant and Joe and my buddy Bill and Alex on the bass, and a lot of people from the neighborhood were there, and there was this one guy, Stu, who used to bully me at, you know, all the time. And I go, you realize, you know, he's a professional guy. I go, you guys realize that you used to bully me when I was a kid. I never did that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, you made it into the act. Gotta come down. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that I was really lucky that kids didn't pay that close of attention to everybody because, you know, it's like I was personable, but if they had caught wind of the fact that my mom was crazy, there could have been some real, real bully action. And they're also, I mean, you're talking about, you know, you didn't have your skill set, and I just shared that, you know, there were these things that we had just moved, so I didn't know my phone number. I don't call myself. I wore penny loafers to school every day. I didn't know how to tie my shoes. And there was a third thing, and I was like, I didn't know that either. And it was just, it happened to be that I didn't know those things. But then when I was in fifth grade, we had to take a standardized test. And on the test, they gave you clock, you know, round analog clock. And you had to say what time it said. And then there were other clocks that were empty, and you had to write the arms on to match the time they told you. I didn't know how to do that. We had very primitive digital clocks, but they were actually just these plastic tiles that would flip down, and it told you the time that way. We didn't have a round clock, so I didn't know how to tell time. So I failed that part of the exam. And the teacher told my dad, and he said, she knows how to tell time. And then he showed me his alarm clock, and he goes, what time does it say? And I'm like, I don't know, Dad. And he was like, holy crap, we don't know how to tell time.
I remember my parents' work, my mom, because my mom did all the shopping for me. The workaround was I wasn't wearing, as the kids said in the day, dungarees. Like I had like these with jeans. I wasn't wearing jeans with zippers and snaps and buttons when I was a little kid. I was wearing like the elastic with the elastic waistbands. Like they would make slacks looking pants with elastic waistbands or not velcro or corduroy pants that I guess you could just pull up. So I guess that was the workaround.
But the thing about it is, you said what the kids call dungarees. We call them dungarees back then, and even then it was like old dungaree.
Yeah, that's kind of an old.
Out of all the stuff I've revealed, that's the thing that catches your attention. Okay.
Yes.
The dungaree issue.
By the way, what a stupid name. Shitteries. Because dung is shit. I'm going to put on my shitteries. Are you insane? Don't name your jeans after shit.
Or another word like that is slicker. It's going to rain tonight. Put on your slicker. My slicker. The hell is a slicker? Wear them with your dungarees.
Yeah. Wait.
Better put on your galoshes.
Yeah, your galoshes. Yeah, so where are you? Yeah.
Sears used to sell pants called Huskies.
Yes. I was a wearer of the Huskies.
I wore the Huskies. Yeah.
I was Husky.
Yeah. You know, I was like,
yeah, I was Husky too. And it's like, you know, it's like, we'll have to look at the Husky. You're Husky. What do you mean? I pee in the snow and drag a sled out of my Husky.
That's funny. Put that in the act.
Yeah.
We should have called this show Three Huskies. That's what we should have called the show.
Husky. You're Husky.
But here's what they do now. They're much better. There's no more Husky pants. A size like a size 27 waist now is really a size 36 waist. They just play with the numbers so everybody feels good about themselves. In our days, you need to go to the Husky section because there's nothing better than a fat boy wearing Husky corduroys. That's a good time in gym class.
Hold on.
Oh, I remember. You know, my mom would take me shopping for clothes. Well, what size is your son? Well, he's a Husky. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, we had to go and get Husky or Tuskins. And it's like, these are not flattering terms for girls' clothes. And we would go at the beginning of each school year, and my dad would buy me a couple pairs of pants and a couple of shirts, and it was my school clothes. And it the worst was one year, I think it was 1976, that was right on the cusp in the suburbs between hippie clothes and moving towards, like, the skinnier pants, drain pipe pants and everything.
Well, the disco, and, well, the disco, you know, corduroys were big. The designer jeans were just coming out.
Yeah.
The silk shirts. Yeah. There used to be a store over in Greenlois to sell all that stuff that I would go
well,
to.
Well, you know what? Pip graduated into a fine young woman, and now she does all of her shopping at the Dress Barn.
You know what? They don't have the Dress Barn anymore.
I know, but what a horrible name for a store. Come on, fatties. Time to put you into the Dress Barn. Jesus.
Come on into the blouse trough.
Yeah.
Come on into the blouse trough.
I will tell you this. Kendall Jenner has never modeled anything that's going in the Dress Barn.
I know, it's so terrible. But oh wait, but let me just tell you, in the year in September of 76, when we were doing the back to school shopping, and my dad said, "Well, you know, they have these different cuts for pants. Do you want to get them in the bell bottoms or the straight legs?" And me, being the fashion guru that I was, said, "Oh yeah, the bell bottoms will be great." The year that they like permanently went out of style, but that's the pants I was stuck with that year. So
at least you only had to wear them for 1 year. See, that was a good thing about being a fat kid. You always needed new clothes because you were constantly outgrowing them.
But my mom would get so pissed off. You're eating me out of house and home. You didn't eat like a freaking shark. There was a store in Huntington. Okay, you could not allow. You weren't allowed to smoke. The only exception was my mom when she was paying the bill for my clothes. You know, it's like, all right, this is $200, Mrs. Perry. You can smoke. Well, thank you very much. At least you people can do. And I'm like, well, Mom, you're smoking. You shut up. You're the cause of this. You know, so yeah.
And the following year, Mrs. Curry took Joe to go shopping at Fat Fox.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Fat Fox. Come on in, where the lowest size we have is a size 40.
You would look lovely in a tent. No, no, you don't have to take the poles. Just pick what tent you want for your dress. Jesus.
We've taken this airplane hangar in Teaneck, New Jersey, and made it so you could fit in there and find the fattest clothes you can, you fucking horse. Now
Fat Fox.
Dresses by Morse fan.
Yeah. Morse. He doesn't know that.
Morse Man used to be tent makers back in the day.
And they used to be a sporting goods place. Again, it's all my Morse Man. Yeah, it's funny, Pip. We just showed our age. No,
I know.
Nobody. He doesn't know that. Nobody. And I, you know, and I'm like, I'm Morse. They used to be over on Route 110. I used to get all my Boy Scout stuff there.
Yeah, that was a joke for you, Joe.
Thank you.
All right, let's. Well, we've shared a lot of childhood trauma in this first segment.
We certainly have.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I still don't know if I've made a joke with the bit, but whatever. All right. On the break, we got new music from Mr. Bip with God Knows. And you can learn more about Mr. Bip on Mr. Bip, B-I-P, Creative and Dreams Music Network.com. And we also have new music from Kaspa Hausa with Party in Ibiza. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. When we come back, we will do Scamming Scammers with Kimberly. And just to refresh your memory really quick, we learned she likes to suck cock. We'll be right back.